on a Feel Good Friday. We have so much to get into today, and I promise that is not an exaggeration. Blockbuster trade, the draft, Alex Smith live, and of course, Stephen A. Smith is back.
What's
all things
on,
NBA. So good to see you.
I thought my head was going to explode yesterday. Like, there was too much stuff happening
at once. Well, I kept thinking, like, we got the draft. Stephen A. hasn't talked about Aaron Rodgers, and then more and more keeps happening.
The Yankees and Dodgers pull off blockbuster trades. Like, everything was happening.
There's a lot.
I confess, I watched. Did a great job yesterday, and I was just watching. And I said, you know, I'm just going to sit back and chill.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to. I said, it's just nice just to sit back and watch. I don't have to work today.
Yeah.
And then I remember, damn, I got to get up tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
But you got
NBA.
Some sleep, I can
see. So you're all about it.
I got some sleep.
That's good. Much deserved. All right, guys, so let's go. Russell Westbrook going back to Cali to team up with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and wear the iconic purple and gold. So here's how it breaks down. Russ and a pair of future second-round picks are heading to L.A. Washington's Hall is centered around a trio of players that includes Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
What is the impact of the Russ trade to the Lakers?
They have a legitimate answer to the Nets right now. Like, sometimes it's this easy. They had two of them dudes. The Nets had three. The Nets had the only real big three. The Suns look like they might for a sec. The Nets have three future Hall of Famers, three guys who could score from anywhere. The most skilled at their size you could ever ask. History of basketball. Who's at their size more skilled than any one of those three guys? The Lakers had no shot. If everyone was healthy this year, it would have been Nets and Lakers. The Lakers would have been thrashed by these Nets. Now they got three dudes. Russell Westbrook's one of them dudes. And let me say something. People are going to get caught up on how it all fits together. That is not the issue here. The issue is bring in the talent. Do they need shooting? Yes. None of these guys are shooters, especially not Westbrook for his position. But can you find shooters? You think guys won't play on the vet minimum for this team? Of course they will. Whether they wind up with Kevin Love or they figure out a sign and trade with three-team deal, they still have Schroeder, Talen Horton-Tucker. Those guys aren't great fits. Could they still swing something for Buddy Hield? Who knows? They'll be just fine. And one more thing about Russell Westbrook. Every single year, 3-4 years now, he's on a new team with new teammates. First half of the season, we're all like, Westbrook's finished. He's no good anymore. Because he's trying to figure things out. Because contrary to popular belief among some, he is a team player. He's trying to figure out how to help the team. Second half, he's figured it out. He's learned his teammates. He knows his role. And then in the second half of every year, we go, he's having an MVP caliber second half. I expect the same thing to happen this year. Stephen A., if the Lakers are healthy, this is a real series if the Nets are healthy. It wouldn't have been before. It is now.
Well, that's really stepping out on the limb. It's a real series. Really? That's all you got? Because let me tell you something. That's obvious, Max Kellerman. There's no question that it's going to be a series if they were to meet. There's no question that it's a formidable big three, and the Lakers deserve a boatload of credit. Rob Pelinka, way to go in terms of assembling this and pulling this trade off, which obviously has happened. And I think Russell Westbrook is worth it. We all know he's a superstar. We all know he's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. We know at the age of 32, going on 33, he's still electrifying. He's still the most athletic point guard in the history of the National Basketball Association. And the fact that you got him with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Lord have mercy. It almost makes it to a point where it might be, we might all need to be medicated for depression if we don't get this finals. Brooklyn versus Los Angeles next season.
I think it's going to happen.
If you barring really injury, do. Guaranteed.
I really do. Happen. This year was odd.
But even with injuries, we're disappointed because we're all salivating for it now more than ever, okay? But this has to be said, and I got to be, you know, let me make sure I'm very careful because I suspect the Westbrook family might be watching. Let me make sure I'm very clear. Well, what I'm trying to say, there will never have been more pressure on Russell Westbrook for this upcoming season. This is the most pressure that he has been through in his career. Now, to be fair to him, he doesn't give a damn. Russell Westbrook don't care about much. He a rough rider. He's pig-headed. He's strong-willed. Whatever word, phrase you want to think is appropriate. He don't give a damn. But from the outside world looking at him, more than ever before, his resume is going to come into play. The triple doubles. Remember when I was controversial, Max and Molly, mm-hmm. because I was talking about I didn't care about a 35, 21, and 14 performance. People misconstrued. I'm hating on Westbrook. No. I'm saying that Russell Westbrook is so phenomenal. Russell Westbrook is such a talent that we don't want to see you going home in the first round. We know you could do that. The point is, we already done. Think about it, Max. When did we ever think we'd get to a point where the triple-double didn't matter, though? It doesn't when it comes to him, because it's ordinary. It's what he does. He's a walking triple-double. We got that part, okay? Now it's about my brother, Kevin Durant left, and four times in 5 years, you went home in the first round. Five times you've been home. Once you went to Houston and you lost in the second round, your lone year there. These are your teammates. I'm going to remind everybody again. Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Victor Oladipo, Paul George, James Harden again, Bradley Beal, and now LeBron James. And that talent that is Russell Westbrook, surefire, first ballot, undeniable Hall of Famer. By the way, box office, you walk through the turnstiles to see a brother like that.
Hell yeah.
You walk through the turnstiles to see a Russell Westbrook.
Gives you everything he has every night.
Russell Westbrook's got over $200 million and nobody blink because we know he deserves it. We know he deserves it because he gives it to you every day. He never cheats the game with his effort. But at some point in time, we're going to be like, where's the chip? And this is where it gets real dicey for him. Because you were with Kevin Durant and you were taking shots people felt Kevin Durant should have been taking. Then you had your time and you became Mr. Triple-Double. Then you had Harden, who's your boy. And Harden and you ended up not wanting to play together. Mm-hmm. You go with Bradley Beal, who's one of the league top two leading scorers in the league, him and Steph Curry last season, okay? And you with Bradley Beal. Of course, you got to the first round, but at the time that, everybody was upset with what I said, they were 13 games under 500 in the Eastern Conference. So now you've overcome. Now all of that's aside. You wanted out of D.C. They gave it to you, and they put you in your hometown. This is a UCLA product. This is L.A. This is an L.A. dude. Any kind of hype, any kind of energy, any kind of fervor that we have seen from Russell Westbrook is expected to elevate even more significantly. So when you look at all of those things and the fact that if LeBron James alone was your teammate, they would have expectations. But now you got LeBron and Anthony Davis. There has never been, ever, in the career of Russell Westbrook where the eye of the storm will be on him. Because we're all going to be looking to see how he messes, how he ingratiates himself within their system, playing with LeBron and AD. And I believe they go into the finals. I believe that if they were healthy anyway, but I certainly believe it now. But right now, you're going to have people looking at the Lakers, and they're going to look at him.
They might win the finals, too. I mean, the Nets are better. The Nets are better scorers, better pure scorers, all three of those dudes. But the Lakers are better defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Westbrook is, of all those teams you just mentioned, he was only on one. Mm-hmm. Stephen A. on one that had a chance to win a championship. That was the 2016 version where the Cavs beat the Warriors and the Thunder almost did. That Thunder team probably should have won the title. You know, mm-hmm. they should have beaten the Warriors and the Cavs that year. They didn't, and partly that's Westbrook's fault. That's the 1 year. Otherwise, he's never been on a team that was better than all the other teams. He is now. He's on a team now. So your point about pressure is right for Westbrook this season. But who's under the most pressure on that team, as usual? LeBron James. He is chasing Michael Jordan. He has made no secret of it. Chasing Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting up there.
Got to catch Kobe first. Need one more. Catch Kobe.
Yes, but the consensus is LeBron is ahead of Kobe on the all-time list.
Okay.
He's never going to ahead
we,
of...
We agree with that.
Right. He's never going to get ahead of Jordan on the all-time list if he doesn't have more championships. He's chasing the GOAT, right? As Kobe did. Kobe did and almost got there. LeBron almost got there.
Well,
Stephen A., he has Westbrook. He has AD.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron has the gravitas to make Westbrook come into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Of course the pressure's on LeBron.
Listen. It's not a negative thing. It comes with the territory, and it's a compliment to them that we're saying the pressure's on them, because there would be no pressure on them if there wasn't a strong belief that they could get it done. So let's be very clear about that. But the biggest thing that I want to say is this, Max, why I respectfully disagree, is LeBron James has a championship already in a Los Angeles Lakers uniform. Now, he might be chasing Jordan, and there might be some individual pressure that he's applying to himself, and the haters out there that want to give it to Jordan or whatever, even though I'm a Jordan guy, you're a Jordan guy, and I don't consider us haters. I mean, God forbid I say LeBron's number two all time. Stop the presses. What an incredible insult in the history of basketball.
Graphic.
There's only one player that I have better than him. I mean, my God, just stop the presses. But the point is this. LeBron already has a chip in an L.A. uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we expected him to be back this year if it were not for the injuries. If Russell Westbrook comes there and they're healthy and they don't find a way to get it done, I mean, listen, you're gonna recognize Russell Westbrook's individual greatness. But there's going to be a lot of questions about team. Remember, he wants to play his way in Houston. He wanted to play his way. He told Houston that. I want to play.
It worked when they did.
Would you guys take the Lakers right now?
I'm talking about to depart Houston. He was telling them, I want to play my way. I don't want to play Harden's way. I don't want to be his sidekick. I want to do what I do. When he arrived in Houston and Mike D'Antoni was coaching, I'm just going to do what I do. Russell Westbrook is known as a guy who says, I'm going to do it my way.
Two things. One, LeBron is the one player in the league who might have the gravitas to bring Russell Westbrook, the gravity to bring Russell Westbrook into the fold. That wasn't KD. They were contemporaries, and Westbrook had a very strong personality. And at times, you could squint and who's better. That's LeBron is you know, he's the guy challenging Jordan. But there's a guy challenging LeBron right now, which puts extra emphasis on what's going on, and that's KD.
Right.
Yeah.
KD is crewed up. KD's never KD's never won a title when he hasn't had basically an unfair advantage.
Right.
It looks like he has one again. Now LeBron has just enough where we can look at both of these guys and say, no excuses,
That's a fair argument about LeBron, Max, if we're talking about the finals has arrived and now it's Brooklyn versus L.A. I'm saying before you get to that, just coming into the season, there is no question that there is more pressure on Russell Westbrook than it is on LeBron James. That's how I view it.
Westbrook, again, a lot of times in the first half, because he has a certain way of playing, it takes the team and him time to get used to each other. But the second half, Westbrook's always balling. Think about Houston. Think about Washington.
Nobody said he isn't balling. What we're talking about are final results. When you are the point guard, you're not just responsible for how you play. You're responsible for how the team plays. Now, if you're a scorer, you're a big man, something like that, it's on you. But when you're the point guard.
Is there anything?
Okay, hold on. Final results. So right now, who would you be taking? Are you taking the Nets or the Lakers?
Nets at this moment.
I would take the Nets.
But I don't think the Lakers are done. I think there are veterans. Like, let's keep an eye on Kevin Love. Let's keep an eye on Buddy Hield. Let's keep an eye on shooters and vets who might take the minimum, not that those guys would, who want to join a team like
Max
that.
Max is right.
You know, they have to play with shooters.
Max is
you're
right.
You're both taking the Nets, even with Russell Westbrook.
Here's a more direct statement. With Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, the Lakers' total squad as presently constructed would not beat a healthy Brooklyn Nets.
Probably not. But I don't think they're done. I don't think they're done. The Nets just added five draft picks. Give the Lakers a minute to see what they do.
Again, of course, that's a given. But I've religiously stated on this show, Kyrie shot 92% from the free throw line last year. James Harden shot 86%. Kevin Durant was around 87, 88%. Religiously, they're 85 or better. LeBron James shot 69% from the free throw line last season and has been struggling the last 3 years from the free throw line. And over the last 2 years, specifically this past season, Russell Westbrook shot 65% from the free throw line. Playoff basketball, the game slows, okay? The open court opportunities aren't there the way they are during the regular season. And when you get into a half-court set, which LeBron is an absolute master at, but then you go to the free throw line, let me assure you, There is no way in hell the Lakers will shoot better from the free throw line than the Brooklyn Nets.
The difference
Nets.
Is this. The
and that matters. Even though the Lakers might get to the line more because they're bigger and they'll attack the basket more.
The difference is this. The Lakers have, of the big three, the Lakers have better raw athletes, size, strength. The Nets have more skilled offense, more skilled players scoring the ball. At his size, Kyrie Irving scoring the ball, you can argue, is the best who ever did it. Same thing with Harden, same thing with KD. So you have three of the GOATs scoring the basketball at their size, history of the game. That is tough to beat. The Lakers' athletic ability, size, defense, and kind of basketball IQ, all that stuff that they have probably isn't enough if they're both healthy. But no other team is going to stand in those teams' way. That series is going games, and I need to see what else the Lakers do. Because Stephen A., if they plug in two knockdown shooters on this team to go with those three, who knows?
One more thing before we move on. How much more longevity does this give LeBron James when we're talking about time to win championships?
Well, I'm not thinking about it from that standpoint, Molly. I'm thinking that both teams, Brooklyn and L.A., have 2 years. Now, don't mind you. All three.
Why Brooklyn?
All three. Well, I'm just saying 2 years to show what they're going to do.
Oh, got it. I thought you meant championship window.
I think the league is on the come up. And I think that if you don't, to me, if you don't win a title within the next 2 years, you ain't going to do it. As presently constructed.
There's one more team.
That's how I view both teams.
Okay.
Both teams.
There's one more team that we have to keep our eye on who could throw a monkey wrench, and that's the Warriors, because they have Klay coming back with Steph. They have Dre. And they have so much other stuff. Like, they haven't been, they've been shopping it, they've been trying to do something, haven't been able to do it. But Wiseman, Wiggins, multiple lottery picks that they wound up using, Poole, you know, they have a lot of stuff, so we got to keep our eye on them. But barring some big move by the Warriors, it's just the Lakers.
I don't know how many times I've had to say on this show, I mean, you ain't going to find a bigger Klay Thompson fan than me. And if Klay Thompson is healthy and Steph Curry is healthy, the Warriors are going to the conference finals.
Conference finals, but it ends there if they don't make a move.
A minimum. That's how I view the Golden State Warriors. That's how significant I think Klay Thompson, a healthy Klay Thompson, is to that squad. Klay Thompson with Steph Curry, you're going to have to – they're going to stand in somebody's way.
Hold on,
and with the Clippers, remember the Clippers gave the Brooklyn Nets a run for their money, even though it was regular season games. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because, again, you got cats that could score like Kawhi and Paul George. But they make free throws. The Lakers with Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, even though, again, you know, I've seen LeBron James make clutch free throws, okay? And I've seen Russell Westbrook make clutch free throws. But when you're in the 60% out going up against cats like Brooklyn or before that Golden State, because we all know Steph Curry and Klay Thompson ain't missing no free throws.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
It's a different style of team. But if Steph and Klay, when they were in their primes before injuries and anything like that, and Draymond couldn't get by LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love, they ain't getting by LeBron, AD, and Westbrook.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Aaron Rodgers was as raw and real as we have ever seen a Hall of Fame caliber athlete. He spoke for 30 minutes off the cuff, yet he was thoughtful and prepared with his comments. You can see them all online. But Stephen A. Smith, you weren't on when this happened, and I was dying to hear your reaction.
I was proud of him. I really, really was, because it was consistent with what I've been saying for over a year. You know, the feelings that he expressed, that he talked about, were instigated with things that transpired in February in the aftermath of them losing in another NFC championship game. There were actually things that took place seasons prior to that. He didn't feel the need to elaborate on that, but I know for a fact that those things happened. And the manner in which that he described the treatment that he received was consistent with what had transpired years earlier. And the point is, enough was enough. Now, he gave an abundance of names. And if you look at Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, there's no denying that for the most part, some of the players that Aaron Rodgers threw out there, Max Amali and, you know, Randall Cobb and you know, and others, you know, we know that for the most part, Gutekunst did the right thing. There were a couple of misses, no question about it. But nevertheless, for the most part, he made the right decisions. What people were not getting still, even after listening to Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't talking about it in a literal sense. Oh, I wanted them to do this and they didn't do that. I wanted them to make this move and they let these guys go. He talked about the respect, the treatment of players by the organization. And he used those guys to crystallize what is a huge, huge problem with the Green Bay Packers organization. And they got their spin doctors, you know, leaking information to folks in the media. This is not true. And, you know, damn right, we got a problem with it, but we're going to let it slide because we don't want to make this bigger than what it is. No. Where the hell is smoke, this fire? Or as my favorite saying is, I have my own saying. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it ain't a damn mongoose. Okay? It's not a damn mongoose. You don't mention all those players. You don't get that specific with the general manager and the president and everybody else in the building, basically calling them out with one detail after another to crystallize a bigger point, and you making that up. This is what his problem was. And so when people look at him and they say, let's go down a list of players that Aaron Rodgers mentioned because Green Bay wasn't wrong about this. No, you're missing the point. It's not about whether they were right or wrong. It's how they treated him when he wanted to simply have discussions, when he wanted to be involved, when he wanted to have some input. I was personally told that one year Aaron Rodgers walked into their office. This is before Gutekunst was the general manager. Mm-hmm. Walked into their office, the Ted Thompsons and the Mark Murphys of the world, both were there. And they looked at him and said, you play, we run this organization, get the hell up out of here. They were that dismissive of him. They were that disrespectful of him. Now, you take that into consideration and ask yourself, do you tolerate that if you are that kind of a talent, that kind of a star, and you make that kind of contribution? This is a lesson for all of corporate America. This ain't just the Green Bay Packers. This isn't just the NFL. It's applicable to the NBA. It's applicable to Major League Baseball. It's applicable to ESPN and Fox and CBS and everybody else. It's applicable to Wall Street. It's applicable to anybody. When you have superstars and you tell them to kick rocks, that your opinion doesn't matter, the second they get an opportunity to let you know, they sick of your ass. They don't want anything to do with you. They're going to do it because you have summarily dismissed them. You don't do that. That's what the Packers did. When people look at their literal moves, you're missing the point. We can look at Gutekunst, we can look at Matt LaFleur, we can look at Mark Murphy, and we can look at abundance of decisions that the Packers organization has made and say, you know what, it makes perfect sense. Makes understandable sense. Okay, now get to us how you couldn't sit down and say, come here, Aaron. We love you. We respect you. This is what we're thinking. Here's why. Take a look at this. As opposed to saying, shut up and play. And all of those folks, when you saw social justice issues and stuff like that, which have absolutely nothing to do with this instance, but the parallel was, particularly in the sports world, how you had people who were being summarily dismissed and not treated with the respect that they had earned. And Aaron Rodgers said, been in this organization for a while. I've carried the load. I've achieved this. I'm a multiple-time MVP. I'm a Super Bowl champion. And I thought that with my years of service, I would at least be treated with some respect. That is the issue. And that's what everybody needs to remember. There's a certain way to treat people who produce for you. They didn't do that for him.
And Rodgers said, I'm an out with some outliers. He's obviously an outlier.
Yeah.
A couple things.
Sure.
First of all, careful sending that message, because remember the honeymooners, Ralph Cramden, when Ed told them, you march into your boss's office.
No.
And like, and you tell him.
That's one of my favorite episodes. That's one of my favorite
He lost his job that day. Yeah,
right. Saying that,
you better be Aaron Rodgers.
You better be Aaron Rodgers.
You can't be Ralph Cramden.
You can't just be one. You can't be
a top, a top producer, regardless of the realm.
The other thing is, there's a large cash reward for anyone who can train a mongoose to walk and quack like a duck. If you can do that, I'll give you a large cash reward.
There we go. There,
okay, here are 2 points for real. And I you weren't on the show when I made these points, so I want to say them again. Tom Brady blazed the trail here, Stephen A., because it's not like Aaron Rodgers just started feeling this way. And I got to give Brady credit for his leadership and decision-making as a quarterback. That's how he's able to compete with guys like Rodgers and Mahomes, who are much more talented. Brady's decision when he was like, I'm taking these, I'm reducing what you'd have to pay me so that you can surround me with better talent. You don't know how to spend my money. What are you doing? Like, I don't have receivers. And you can't draft, right? Then he makes the decision, I'm not going to let them dictate the end of my tenure with the Patriots. I'm going to dictate the end of my tenure with the Patriots. Rodgers saw that, obviously saw that, and said the same, like, look what they did to Brett Favre. I'm not going to let them dictate the end of my Packers career like they did to Brett Favre. I'm going to be the guy making the decisions, right? That was Tom Brady blazing a trail and Aaron Rodgers following. I got to tip my cap to Brady, because you could see even with the candor that Brady speaks now in public, Rodgers is doing that at the press conference, too. Mm-hmm. I got to tip the cap to Brady. And the other thing is, Stephen A., what you're discussing, Gladwell, in one of his books, I think it was Blink, talks about
Malcolm. I saw you the other day. You didn't remember that his first name was Malcolm.
I did. Malcolm Gladwell. No, I know his name is Malcolm Gladwell. I don't remember the name of the book.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, because he has a whole series of them, like, you know. Okay. But Blink, I think this
I read Blink.
Yeah, so did I. So, and he talks about malpractice lawsuits with doctors and how they're not correlated as much with result as they are with bedside manner. People care, as human beings, we care more about the way we feel we're treated sometimes than even the bottom line. And that's what Rodgers has been reacting to. Hey, Gutekunst, you might be a good GM. I don't like your bedside manner.
Well, that's the reason that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, in terms of their situations, should never be mentioned in the same breath. See, we keep thinking about Gutekunst and Mark Murphy. And then when we go to Tom Brady, we think about Bill Belichick. No, sir. The owner for the New England Patriots is Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
He loves that man, Aaron Rodgers. He reveres him.
Tom Brady.
He loves that man. And he treated him like it. And when Tom Brady decided that he was leaving, Tom Brady got in his car and drove to Robert Kraft's home to talk to him and to let him know, it's time and I just want to go. If Tom Brady had said, I want to stay, Robert Kraft would not have given a damn what Bill Belichick had to say. He would have said, Tom Brady's staying.
See that relationship.
So what I'm saying is, Aaron Rodgers, there's no relationship like that with the people at the top. Belichick issue in New England with Tom Brady, but it wasn't a Robert Kraft
issue. The Packers, and give Kraft some credit too, ownership can come into play. Who owns the Packers?
Like, I agree.
Right, no one owns the Packers. The fans own the Packers.
Murphy's
the CEO.
Yeah, but
he runs the
team.
It's different than owning the team. There's a difference.
But he runs the team, and he has the power to treat Aaron Rodgers with the respect he deserves. And we saw his intent because weeks ago when before Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media and Mark Murphy was out there giving his spin on it, we saw how he was trying to address situations. And all it did was illuminate Aaron Rodgers' point.
Right, sure.
That's all it did.
Sure.
That's all it did. No. They don't deserve, let me be very clear, they don't deserve them. I'm mad that he's staying in Green Bay. Well, I'm not talking about the fans. Yep. I'm not talking about his teammates. I'm talking about the organization. They don't deserve.
Did you catch
Aaron
when he's trying when he almost said I love the or I yeah. love the fans?
Yes.
He almost said organization, stopped himself and said fans.
Yes.
That's but not, 1 year can go by fast, and he does have a great team, and then he can.
And he can win
the
Super Bowl.
Yeah, he could win a Super Bowl, and then he can pack his bags and be gone.
He could win a Super Bowl. They could see the error of their ways and move on. But to, as far as I'm concerned, they showed who they are. Mm-hmm. Time and time and time again. And when you do that, you don't have to excoriate them, but you can say goodbye.
Gutekunst still doesn't get it, by the way, because even at when he spoke after Rodgers,
yes.
he was like, well, we brought Cobb back because that was for Aaron. But he still was, he had a certain kind of stubbornness and arrogance there
yeah.
and a lack of humility where what he needed to say was, look, Aaron Rodgers is a special player. He mm-hmm. clearly doesn't like the way he was treated. I have to look myself in the mirror yeah. and deal with that. Of course we want his input going mm-hmm. forward. He has made his point, et cetera,
no, he kind of doubled down. He doubled down a little bit and said he did give input. We just essentially didn't use it.
Let's remember the platform we have right here on this show. You can book it. Throughout the National Football League, we're going to be talking about more and more and more of these stories mm-hmm. because Gutekunst is a product of an NFL culture that has dominion over players in an alarming fashion, especially to the players themselves. They hate the power that these teams wield. And my thing is that it's one thing when you're the owner, that you're doling out all of these dollars, you're certainly making it, you're getting a return on your investment, but you're doling out all of these dollars, you take these risks, you spend your money. As much as we might abhor it, if you're the person, if you're the billionaire that owns the team and stuff like that, you sort of understand the arrogance. You might not like it. Mm-hmm. You might wish they would do better, but you understand it. But to be a GM or a president, you're an employee, okay? You're getting paid less than the players in a lot of situations. You don't have to go out on the field and perform.
Maybe that's part of their beef.
And I understand that you're the one watching hours upon hours of tape while they're not the ones doing that. They perform. But to summarily dismiss them and to be uppity towards them, like Gutekunst came across.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he feels that way because I don't know him. But he looked that way. And you just know that this is the kind of stuff that happens in the National Football League, and these players see Aaron Rodgers, and you watch the ripple effect. Aaron Rodgers is going to have just as much of an impact on these players as Tom Brady did.
As long as they're not Ralph Cramden, Stephen A., because the right. Gotham bus company is still going to run without
That's
most
right.
of these dudes.
That's right.
But without
That's
Aaron
right.
Rodgers, it's different.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't treat guys like that.
Outliers,
not,
especially.
Not outliers.
Yeah, he used that word.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, y'all, here's a look at the top 10 picks in last night's NBA draft. First of all, congratulations to all the draftees. Dreams coming true. The Pistons took Cade Cunningham first overall. Cunningham is the third Big 12 player to be selected first overall, joining Andrew Wiggins and Blake Griffin. Kendrick Perkins, who was all over the draft coverage last night, doing an excellent job joining us Now, Big Perk, where are you? There he is. Little sleep, but he's ready to go, all smiles. I'll start with you here, Stephen A. Who are the draft winners?
Well, listen, I think that I love this kid in green that the Houston Rockets picked up, big-time scorer, incredibly athletic. I'm a huge fan of Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga. It was just a freshman last year, got a lot of heart, was all-state player, player of the year in football and basketball when he was in high school, and obviously went to Gonzaga last year, helped them get to a national championship game before Baylor ran over them. But I love this kid. I love the fact that he's going to be in Orlando. And, of course, I don't mind the fact that my Knicks got this kid, Quentin Grimes. I was a bit worried when I saw that the Knicks were picking guys that had defensive prowess but were a bit challenged offensively, etc. I like, damn it, Tom Thibodeau, I don't need all of that. You got enough defense. I need some shooters. You understand? This kid
then the Grimes, Nets took your guy.
This kid, that's right. I know they did. Yeah. But this kid Grimes out of Houston, I like him a lot. He's got some potential. He definitely can shoot the rock and what have you. So I was pleased with that. But again, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to the American public, obviously, because of COVID-19. Last year was severely compromised, and I didn't see a lot of these guys. I watched the NCAA tournament. I certainly watched the Final Four. But the body of work that I've seen these guys, I'm not about to sit up here and even try to come across like I'm too knowledgeable about all of these guys. I know what their games are. I've seen some highlights of them. I watched Grimes. I watched Cade Cunningham as well, and what have you. And I've seen some of these guys, and I've based on what I've seen what they can do. Let me say this real quick about Cade Cunningham. I'm a fan. I love his game, but I just want to say this, and Max and Kendrick, please feel free to comment on that. This is the message that I want to send to all college kids out there. When they looked at Cade Cunningham, they said that there were times that he could have been more aggressive. That's all they said. They said all the tools are there, particularly him in pick and roll situations at 6'8", with his shooting ability or whatever. He could be a special talent. So we know the brother can play, and we wish him nothing but the best. And I got a lot of faith in him as well. I just want to make sure everybody understands this. When you play on the collegiate level specifically, or any level that's less than the NBA, if you play 30 games a year, and anyone ever questions your motor, that's a huge bad sign. Because the belief is, on a collegiate level or any other level, you're not making the money that you're going to be making on the NBA level. There are less games, less taxing on your body. And so when you're in pursuit of that money and you're in pursuit of elevating your game to another level, Russell Westbrook is somebody you should idolize. Because you look at a guy like that in that motor and the way he comes at it every single night.
So you're not just talking about aggression. You're talking about energy.
You can't ever come across like there's an absence of energy, even at particular points.
Passion.
When you consider the fact that you're playing 30-some-odd games and you're going to be playing.
That's a red flag for you?
That's always a red flag for me.
At number one overall.
Well, in any for a first-round pick. We should never be questioning.
So you wouldn't. So would you take as a result? Cade?
I would have taken Cade Cunningham, but what I'm saying to you is that I really like this kid Green though.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that again, I don't know, but they were saying.
Beware, antennas are up.
Beware.
It's concerning.
Sure.
Even with the talent.
Make sure you eradicate that.
I liked what a couple teams did, most of all Houston, and not just because they wound up with Green, but they wound up with Segun, the Turkish guy. No, have I seen Segun play? Only the highlights and what people say. But if you win MVP of the Turkish League when you're 18 and you're that size and you have that kind of agility and offensive touch, you're going to be pretty good at least. Mm-hmm. And they grab both those guys and an athletic defensive power forward like who may have been a lottery. Like the Rockets did really well. I also like the fact that the Pistons got Isaiah Livers, Stephen A.
Yes,
like
out of Michigan.
He's a real good shooter and like a leader and from the area. I like that. And then also at the Nets picking up Cam Thomas, by the way, when I said they got the guy, you're watching the Knicks, you're like, Cam Thomas is still there.
That's the guy they should have
got. And the Nets got a guy who's going to be a sixth man walking into the gym, you would think. He's not going to play
He can score.
And then the blogger kid, Jason Preston, who the Clippers picked up. They liked him, the rumor was, before the draft. Traded out of the first round, so they pick up some extra stuff and then grab him in the second round. And he's apparently got a lot of LaMelo Ball in him, right? The idea is a lanky, playmaking, high IQ guy. And think about what they had at the point guard position last year. Not a lot, the Clippers. They were playing Patrick Beverley there. This is a big upgrade, it seems to me.
Big Perk, what about you?
Well, let me say this. One, this is the most athletic draft in NBA history. And I'm going to tell you why. 41 guys at the NBA Combine tested for a 35-inch vertical leap or higher. One of those guys in Keon Johnson had a 48-inch vertical, which set the record. You had another big that went second round, Jericho Sims out of Texas, who had a 44-inch vertical. Here's what I'm going to tell you. When you look at this draft from last night, this is one of the deepest, most talented drafts since 2003 and 1996. These young kids are going to be bona fide superstars, especially the top three, okay? When you look at Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and Evan Mobley. And here's what I want to say about Cade Cunningham, Stephen A., to your point. When you look at Cade Cunningham, he played for the Team USA, the World Cup last year, and he was clearly the best player on the floor every single night. And he played with all those guys he was drafted with. That includes Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, all those guys. And he was the clear best player every single night on the floor. This is where I'm going to tell you who's the biggest winner in this year's draft. It's the Detroit Pistons. And then starting with Cade Cunningham, he's the most complete player since LeBron James. And here's why I say why. He has zero flaws offensively. He could take you on a low block. He knows how to utilize his size. His face-up game is mean. Reminds me of Grant Hill. He has the ball. His handle is unique. Has it on the string. His IQ is through the roof. His playmaking ability is some of the best I've ever seen for as a guy his age. And when we talk about athleticism, he don't have a 40-inch vertical, but he has like a 36-inch vertical. And when he gets on the fast break, look out, man. I mean, lights, camera, action. And he's mature. When you listen to his interviews, right? When you listen to his interviews, he talk about his young daughter. He talks about his leadership skills and how grown he is. And that was the thing that separated him and Jalen Green.
All right, hold on. Let me ask you this question. I'm not refuting any of that because you would know. I haven't been studying that stuff. But that's what they're saying. I'm not, let me be very, very clear. I've only seen Cade Cunningham like twice. I love his skill. I'm not questioning anything. What I'm saying is the folks who follow college basketball, that's what they were saying about him leading up to the draft. And are you saying that you didn't hear that? That Cade Cunningham, when we talked about his motor, because that's the only question that I heard about him, there were times that folks felt because he was that dude, because he was so skilled, it was just a matter of him going out there and taking it as opposed to coming across passive at times. Are you saying that you didn't hear that?
Well, the only thing that I heard, Stephen A., is that when he was at Oklahoma State, he didn't have the talent around him. So when guys, when teams in college would actually play a boxing one defense or put overemphasize stopping him and he would make plays, they were just not, others were not finishing around the basket or knocking down shots. But I'm going to tell you, look, the Detroit Pistons, they were torn between the two when it came down to Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, right? And I think the separation was the leadership part of it. They were blown away by his interview, how mature he is. But when you go down the line, I love that they picked up Livers from Michigan. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, in the late second round with the 52 pick, guess who they got? The college player of the year in college basketball.
That's right.
Big Garza out of Iowa. Troy Weaver did a hell of a job last night for the Detroit Pistons. And the future is bright when it comes down to Cade Cunningham and his Detroit Pistons and the pieces that they already have, especially a young killer like they have in the middle right now, Isaiah Stewart, that they drafted last year out of Washington.
Yeah, the Pistons
absolutely.
And the Rockets
tides are turning, getting back to those glory days, hopefully in a few years or so. What were you going to say, Max? Sorry.
The Pistons and the Rockets killed it, and the Rockets moved up to grab their guy, Sengun, with the 14th.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Detroit, again, you know, they're downtown now. They're no longer at the Palace in Auburn Hills. They're gone from the Palace in Auburn. They're downtown Detroit. And I think, I've heard there's a resurgence. I haven't been there in a couple of years or so, but I've heard there's a resurgence
downtown. Absolutely.
New hotels, new restaurants.
Listen,
that's a beautiful, beautiful thing because, you know, those fans, if you give them something to cheer, that's a big-time fan base there.
Oh, Detroit?
And, of course, I'm rooting for my brother. The Troy Weaver. So I'm glad that things are looking good for them right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.